You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All right, well, thank you so much for coming down. I'm sure it's been a pretty busy day for you with the release and everything happening.
I was adjusting the release on the bus as I got here. So, yeah, lots of mobile data.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and you dropped it literally an hour ago.
At time of recording, people, an hour ago.
At the time of this recording, Everything You Want came out exactly 1 hour ago.
Yes.
So, yeah, just to begin, can you tell us a little bit about the single and what it means to you in terms of, you know, your sonic direction and how it came about conceptually?
Scary pop girl music. And it came about to me because I have this project that this single's attached to. And with the project, I realized, like, I work really well chronologically. And this kind of came about as the fourth track. And I initially wanted another person to be on it, and then I realized, I can't, I have to do everything by myself because no one will help me. And I workshopped it for like 2.5 years, and then boom, it came out, I did everything myself, and yeah, that's how the song came about.
So this track has been in development for more than 2 years?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I'm lazy. That's most of the time is procrastinating. I should have been working on it, but no, I wasn't.
Or it's more like you had other projects that you were working on at the time, and then this one was just kind of in the vault, and then you just decided, okay, like, I'm actually going to flesh this out and put it out there.
Yes, yeah, I needed a lot of time and a lot of money.
Money, yes.
For the music video, of course.
And I guess, like, sonically, would you say that you were trying some new stuff or, like, going in a different direction? I mean, personally, when I was listening to the track, I got a lot of ballroom and Vogue beat sort of vibes and some like deconstructed club elements, you know, like sort of in the vein of Aka. You know, was this track a new sonic direction for you?
I think it's just a natural step forward in, you know, in the process of making this mixtape. And I really didn't know where I was going in the making of the mixtape. So if you listen to the full project, it goes in lots of places. But I think for me, the song signals a kind of like hallmark, like statement kind of deconstructed beats that I do. With like a lot of samples, a lot of really traumatizing car crash sounds. And yeah, I think it's just an elaboration of my remix work that I did for most of my career, but on a pop level.
And would you say that, I guess, maybe that approach is something you replicate in other songs you work on? Like, you don't exactly maybe have like a stylistic focus, you know, things just sort of happen organically.
Yeah, things happen organically. The ADHD helps. I think if there's a through line, I think it has to be, I need a bunch of different things happening all at the same time, different bunch of complex things to kind of scratch my brain and have me focus on what I'm working on. I also like just pulling from many different places, many different things, many different sounds in the real world and, you know, the game world and things of that nature.
And accompanying the track is a music video, which you've also teased in the lead up to the release. Can you tell us about like what that looks like and how that came about conceptually as well?
So my friend Thea actually told me in, you know, response to, you know, me talking about my music video, he said that there's always like a through line of like sad and scary and glamorous woman who does girl boss things. And it's either like a separate like person, or it's like me in stockings and heels with the long hair and everything, just the whole drama of it all. So far that's been the through line of most of my ideas. But I wanted to, when I was talking about it with JJ, I wanted like a kind of like alien huntress thing that puts a man through a lot of pain and torture, and it's the catharsis of seeing a man get his, you know, due consequences that really inspires me, and a glamorous fashionable woman to lead the charge on that. So, but then it's became less alien huntress and more focused on the physical performance of Dinkai, who is the
man getting his due diligence.
Yeah, his due diligence, and it's I couldn't watch it for a couple months because he's like a great person, sweetheart. And then he becomes bloody terrifying, which is, I couldn't watch it for a couple months. And then I had to.
Yeah, but I'm sure he was, you know, fully okay with it. You know, he knew what he was getting into.
Oh, yeah, no, he was, I didn't see the entirety of this because I was actually hiding behind the DJ decks, controlling the music in the background. But as we were filming, there was this like really dark ambient, like weird song in the background, and everyone is in like a circle, all wearing black and looking at, down at him shamefully, and he's like bare chested and throwing himself on the floor. We didn't catch the screams in the video, but like hearing that was like, oh my god, what the hell? So yeah, people are scary.
Was this concept, you know, meant to reflect perhaps like an experience you went through with like another person, or you know, do you have a personal connection to the story behind the music video?
Just through the grapevine of friends and whatnot, and you know, certain things that arise in the communities that I'm in from time to time. Relatively recently, I finished watching Twin Peaks, and a great synopsis that I kept thinking of in my mind just watching it was like, men suck. A lot of them are not good people. So I think that was kind of one of the things that took charge in the conception of the video, the making of the video.
And you shot it at Neck of the Woods as well, right? Yeah. Did shooting a music video in a place that, you know, you've gone to club nights at and probably even performed in yourself, you know, did that have an impact on how the music video came about or how you sort of conceptualized it?
Yeah, I like a good concrete room.
Concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you want brought to you by concrete.
Yes. Sponsored by Atlas Con. No, not actually. Hopefully not.
All I wanted to add to that was Neck of the Woods is just this really iconic room for a lot of queer artists, and you bring it more into life makes sense. It has to be that room. Would you say so?
Yeah, I was, first of all, we were considering the mothership, and I still want to make a video in that room because of... Well, someone snapped photos of it, but it's an incredible looking back alley. And just the fact that there were LED screens. So, like, the plan was a bunch of LED screens in the back. But I think Neck of the Woods is more relevant because, again, it's the place that I play gigs in, and it's the place where, you know, queer artists have a lot of fun in. And it's a pretty good venue. It's pretty safe venue that takes itself very seriously and takes its security very, very seriously. And you can see that reflected in the end of the video where Tinker gets punched.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, punched in quotation marks.
Period.
Just switching gears a bit, this isn't related to the single itself, but it's something pretty interesting. Last year, you also did a tour in China where you played in four cities. Could you tell us a little bit about your experiences during that period of time and what it was like performing there?
Honestly, Chinese KFC is so good. It's like the KFC, like, spice secret rotisserie chicken, very juicy, just covered in that spice blend. And it was great. Performing was nice,
but the highlight was KFC.
Yeah.
Did you try different KFCs in different cities? Like was Guangzhou KFC better than Shenzhen?
So I think because of just how China is built, it's quite efficient and it's quite consistent and it's quite good across all the cities that I've tried KFC in. So yeah, that was great.
Yeah. In terms of, you know, during those performances itself, you know, how would you say the crowds in China reacted to your music compared to how they'd normally respond here in Aotearoa?
I think it's like the same enthusiasm for all the different types of music that the other performers played in the nights. It's very similar to like when I DJ at Nympho or when I see other people do club nights at Nympho. It's the same kind of raucous, like rowdy crowd that's very supportive.
Do you think you could maybe see yourself going either back to China or like doing a tour across other countries in Asia, perhaps in the future?
If they book me. At some point, yeah. If they book me.
Not if. When? And I say, and I'm saying this just because we want to put it out there for people who are listening on air, you will get booked in these places.
Oh, thank you. I want to do like the classic Australia, New Zealand goes to Japan kind of trip, but because it's really popular right now. I want to do it when it's like not popular, so it becomes cool again. I think Bali is kind of dethroning Tokyo or just Japan in general in terms of this, because I'm seeing a lot of annoying people on my feed go to Bali. So sorry, but again, whoops, not my fault.
You'll make it cool again, don't worry.
Okay, Tokyo's already cool. Japan's already cool. I think we don't need more white people to make it, like, cool again. Make Japan cool again. Put that on a red cap.
Period.
Don't! Not period!
Did you say make Japan cool again?
M dash at the end of the sentence.
Have you looked into the club or rave scene in the Philippines, maybe?
Oh my god, that would be actually so good. I honestly, I want to go back. I want to do a show in Davao because I don't have to speak Tagalog. But Manila's great. It's hot. It's really hot. It's really hot. One time, there was a temperature, what's it called? A thermometer reading inside my aunt's car. It was like 52 degrees Celsius. So it's really hot.
Yeah. We weren't rolling when you were talking about this, but would you be keen to like go into a bit of your aversion to Tagalog, you know?
Okay. So I live in Mindanao, right? And my family just speaks Bisaya. We don't speak Tagalog in the house, because why would we? Because we don't live in Luzon, for Christ's sake. And the only Tagalog that I've really embraced was watching the 2011 reboot of Pangako Sayo. And that was when Tagalog was gaggy, because most of the time it was just fucking the State of the Nation by President Aquino that came up, and I was like, this is not gaggy, what are we doing? And I don't really like a lot of music in Tagalog, but I think that's because my father really loves rap in Tagalog, and it is, I can't listen to that. I feel like it's an affront to my sensibilities. I much prefer budots.
Ooh, do you think you could see yourself like producing a budots inspired track?
So I was 10 when I left. I was born in Cagayan de Oro. I was not in Davao, where it came from. I don't really hear of it much, except for the odd like variety show that my school would host. So maybe, but it would have to be someone like in the culture. But I mean, hell, if someone approaches me, hey, I'm from Davao, I'm from whatever, whatever. Like, hey, do you want to sing? Can I make a budots remix? I'm like, fuck yeah. Of course.
I'm sure there are a lot of like Filipino producers like making budo tracks that are...
I'm gonna fact check you. There's not actually.
Not really?
Once I saw... I was in this Discord server, and when I saw like... So you can stream your screen on Discord, and you can share what you're doing in your app, in your window, in your applications. And when I saw a white producer make budots their Ableton, I was like...
It's been gentrified.
I now understand what it was like to be Brazilian with baile funk. I'm like,
it really is that feeling, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm really understanding what it feels like now, and whoops! Not very good being on the receiving end, but good for them, because if they make it good, well, like, good for them, but like, I grew up in a house with no plumbing. You grew up with a two-story house with a nice lawn and no 3-foot deep canal. So check yourself a little bit.
It's like the gentrified version of budots you're producing has no cultural context.
Yeah, like if you're like making baile funk and you're putting like samples of people like rapping or speaking in Brazilian Portuguese and you don't know what they're saying.
This is for a future self for you. Hmm. Would you ever see yourself doing more voguing in ballroom in the future in Europe?
Me physically doing that?
Yeah.
I am not a dancer that should be left to the people who really want to dance. I just kind of like want to stand there with my mic stand and go, yeah.
But how about, I guess maybe like DJing for ballroom events or performing in that capacity?
Well, for DJing, I think people who were built to DJ period, should do that. I'm just happy to be on a stage with a microphone, and that's about it. CDJ Scammy.
Going forward, you know, what other plans do you have, like, surrounding this single? Is this going to be part of, like, a larger release, maybe, like, an EP or an album?
It's part of a mixtape that I've been... Okay, it used to be a mixtape, then it became an album, and I was like, oh, this needs to be a mixtape again. So, full cycle, it's going to be part of this mixtape that I've yet to finish. Not because, like, there's, like, one song missing. It's just, like, it's been 95% done for, like, a year, and I'm just, like, I can't be bothered. But, yeah, it's part of this mixtape that I am quite proud of, and it is a portrait of Vice's grip. Just like Vice, and not the news company, but like the Vice.
Yeah, the concept of Vice.
Yeah, yeah. Like...
Grabbing? Are you talking about grabbing?
Oh, no, not like the Vice isn't... No, as in like coke.
Oh.
Meth.
Oh.
Scrolling on Twitter.
Twitter is worse, honestly.
Depends. Some people are really annoying on coke, and I refuse to talk to those people.
And what else should people keep an eye out for from JHL this year? Tons of gigs.
See you in Lisbon.
Lisbon? Portugal?
Lisbon, Porto, maybe Paris, maybe Berlin, maybe Amsterdam. Well, probably not Amsterdam.
So just Europe in general.
And then London. And then... Bye-bye! But yeah, Europe in general. See you then in June.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.